Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. The New Hampshire-born writer Mary Roach specializes in covering the sometimes gruesome history and science of the human body with a sense of humor. Her best-selling book, Stiff, is about cadavers, Bonk, about research on sex, and most recently, Gulp, Adventures on the Alimentary Canal. That's why we jumped when we saw her article in the Smithsonian about the gut-wrenching science behind what could be the world's hottest peppers. Roach visited the Naga people of remote northeast India, home to a chili-eating competition for excruciatingly, agonizingly off-the-charts hot peppers. Mary Roach, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
So set the scene for us. Where's Nagaland? Who lives there?
Nagaland is way up in the extreme northeast of India. It's kind of the Nova Scotia of India. It's way the heck up there. It's as far north and east in India as you can go. And the Naga people are, it's a sort of collection of 17 tribes, collectively known as the Naga. And they have been there for many, many years. They are known historically for their head-hunting, head-taking proclivities. These days, they are mostly Baptists and no longer taking heads, but they do eat this extraordinarily hot chili pepper called the boot jalokia.
And this translates as ghost chili. This is used in this annual chili eating contest. Now, how hot is this pepper?
Well, the measurement unit that's used with chilies is called the Scoville heat unit. A jalapeno, we'll start with a common example. That's about 4,000 Scoville heat units. A boot jalokia ranges between 500,000 and 1.5 million Scoville heat units.
Wow.
And anything, yeah, it's very, very hot. Anything over a million is known as a super hot chili. So boot jalokia is a super hot chili.
So tell us about this competition. What are the rules?
Yes, the competition competitors, and most of them are Nagas, but there were a handful of foreigners, tourists, who were brave enough to get up on the stage and take part. The rules are you have 20 seconds to eat as many of the peppers as you can, and cruelly, you must chew them three times. You can't just swallow the thing whole, because you really have to experience the pain. The hottest part of a chili is the lining and the seeds. Basically, the plant is protecting its babies. It's reproductive material. So that's the really hot part, and you must chew it and expose yourself to that. If you succeed, the most you can win, it's a $600.
Well, I'm kind of imagining, you know, this cartoony image of somebody eating a pepper and, you know, smoke coming out of their ears and their tongue coming out and them grasping onto their neck. Any of that on display in Nagaland?
I had this, I imagined there being grimacing, screaming, even writhing, pounding the table. But in fact, there was this kind of grim stoicism. People looked very, very unhappy, staring straight ahead. The sweating hadn't started yet, just kind of enduring. And it was very quiet. There was this strange kind of quiet. Backstage, what happened was unbelievable. I was sitting there taking notes, and this guy, who's actually an MP from Myanmar, you hear the word stagger. But I've never seen it in action. Coming my way, this man kind of dropped to one knee, staggered, fell onto the ground, and began making these horrible sounds, mostly vowels, kind of moaning and writhing. And it was this alarming thing. And then some of the locals came up. People were pouring water bottles, opening and cracking open water bottles, just pouring them onto them, because one of the things, capsaicin, it's vasoactive, and it opens up peripheral blood vessels. You get flushed, very flushed and hot. It's like they're having the mother of all hot flashes. People are dumping water onto them, giving them injections of this drug that is to prevent cramping, because meanwhile, inside them now, and once it goes past the mouth and it's getting into the digestive tract, now the digestive tract is going, hey, whoa, what's going on? You've got cramping, you've got vomiting. All the water they've been drinking in is now coming back up. The cameraman, the guy who was taking photographs, said to me, Mary, is my bag on high ground? There was so much vomiting of water, and it was just this carnage, really and truly. But if you'd only seen it from the audience, you'd think, huh, that didn't look so bad.
All right, I need to go back. You said capsaicin. Is that what makes the chili pepper hot, and why?
Yes, capsaicin is the demon substance. Capsaicin, what that does, the tongue has pain receptors that respond to a certain intensity of temperature or acidity, and that translates as a burning sensation. So you have these pain receptors that are triggered, and your brain says, oh, this is burning, this is hot, and you spit it out. It's a survival mechanism for the plant. And what capsaicin does is lower the threshold at which this happens. It trips the alarm. It tricks you into setting the pepper free. You think your mouth is burning. You think you're being damaged and scarred, and you're not. It feels hot, but you are not being burned. It's not really taste. It's a kind of a chemical sense, irritation.
In fact, you point out this is still what is used in pepper spray.
Yes, exactly. It is used as a non-lethal weapon. It is that effective. It doesn't cause permanent damage, but it's very, very effective in creating a very unpleasant, painful feeling, temporary feeling.
Mary Roach is best-selling author of several popular science books, and she wrote about her recent culinary adventure to Nagaland for Smithsonian Magazine. Besides pepper spray, Buchalochia grenades were actually developed years ago. Can they be used for any good purposes, like medicines? I mean, I have friends who swear that they burn out cold by eating hot pepper tea.
Well, capsaicin is used as a, if you have, say, a sore back, you can use it topically, and it creates heat locally. So it's kind of a natural heating pad, as it were. If you go on PubMed, any of those medical databases, there's all kinds of things that it's been tested for, and I'm not sure how many of them they've been able to prove efficacy, but it's certainly been tested for a lot of different medical uses.
Why do some people seem to have more tolerance when it comes to eating spicy hot peppers and spicy food in general than others?
Well, two things are going on. There are genetic differences. There, some people have more of the receptors, the pain receptors that respond to capsaicin, but you definitely build up a tolerance, and the way that you do that is you gradually burn out those receptors. I was curious because a couple of the Westerners who took part in this did pretty well, took part in the chili eating contest. They fared fairly well. One of them is kind of a chili head. She travels around the world, loves to eat hot peppers. So it seems to me, I mean, it's possible she has a genetic advantage, but it seemed to me she's probably burned out some of her receptors and for that reason was able to tolerate more.
How about that spicy food fanatic culture? I mean, this whole sort of thin line between pleasure and pain of peppers. What's that about? Is there a cultural reason for that?
Part of it is there's a macho quality to being in a group of people and saying, I bet I can do this. I can eat this whole pepper. I can chew it. It won't bother me. It's a little bit of that involved. There was this great quote from one of the researchers at the Monell Chemical Senses Center that I interviewed, and he said, yeah, I'm not sure how many people eat these peppers in isolation, a super hot pepper, that is. The other thing that psychologists will point to is something called the risk-taking personality, so that the pepper is kind of an edible version of skydiving. It's a thrill, that it's exciting to do it, that you have this buildup of fear, and then you take the plunge and eat this pepper, and that appeals to some personalities. There's also, in food science, there's something called dynamic contrast, which has to do with the preference for variety and surprise in what we eat. Like, we like a little bit of salt with our sweet things, like, you know, salted caramel is so popular now. You like a little bit of crunch in your creamy mix-ins in yogurt and ice cream. That sort of falls into that category. The mouth doesn't like to be bored. You know, the mouth is like some guy who wants a little bit of stimulation, a little bit of excitement. And so hot peppers provide that.
How about your mouth? Did you risk trying the Naga King chili yourself?
I did. And it was interesting because I was in this little village where they supposedly grow the best Buchalochia. And this man cut a little sliver, really a little bit bigger than a grain of rice, very, very small. And he salted it and gave it to me. And it was hot, but not unbearably hot because it was quite small. But what was amazing was the flavor. The flavor in these peppers is so amazing. It's this cut grass and lemon and floral and not like anything I've experienced in a chili before. If I could, I would want Jalokia grown in a way that the heat is taken somewhat away so that you can appreciate the exquisite flavors. So I had a very different experience of the Buccellochia than those poor people writhing around on the floor backstage at the Hornbill Festival.
Mary Roach, what a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Mary Roach, best-selling author of several popular science books, including Stiff, Spook, Bonk, and most recently Gulp, Adventures on the Alimentary Canal. You can read her article for Smithsonian Magazine. It's called The Gut-Wrenching Science Behind the World's Hottest Peppers. We have a link at wordofmouthradio.org.